It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. And this is the Friday Five on Friday, the 5th of January, 2024. Happy New Year to you all. We hope you enjoyed the Christmas break, and I'm sure the results of last Saturday probably helped. In just a few minutes, we shall be talking about the latest news coming out of the City Ground with Tom and the Maradona of the Midlands. But first, let's get the news bulletin. So it's over to Jamie at the 1865 news desk.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the headline of this week's news, Nottingham Forest could be at risk of an FFP breach. Reports have emerged this week that suggest Nottingham Forest are amongst the clubs most at risk of breaching profit and sustainability regulation rules. In the Championship, Forest could lose a total of £30 million per season, which accounts for £26 million in the last FFP period, with a further £35 million in losses allowed in the club's previous Premier League season. This totals to a £61 million loss over three seasons, with the Times reporting that Forest and Everton are most at risk of a breach. Telegraph reporter John Percy says that the club are, quote, confident that no rules have been broken and that top sports lawyer Nick DeMarco KC has been hired to argue their case, although there is no doubt that the margin is quite close. All Premier League clubs are under scrutiny regarding FFP, with all clubs expected to find out whether they have breached any rules on January 14th, 2024. Now, second in this week's news, Fluminense's captain has snubbed a move to Nottingham Forest. Despite being linked over the course of the autumn/winter period, Nino, captain of Club World Cup finalist Fluminense, has decided not to join Nottingham Forest. Priced at around £5 million, most Forest fans were excited for the arrival of the experienced Brazil international, but despite negotiations lasting over a month, the defender chose to move further east, joining Russian side Zenit St. Petersburg. With Forest losing numerous defenders to AFCON, the hope was that Nino's arrival would fill that void while also helping the club's ageing defence. Fabrizio Romano reports that the deal for Nino to Forest was very close. And now a bit of shock news for Nottingham Forest fans. Jonjo Shelvey's contract is terminated. He never left on loan. In a huge shock to Forest fans, the supposed loan move for Jonjo Shelvey to Saikor Rizespor didn't happen. Instead, Forest reportedly opted for other means. Guardian reports this week revealed that Nottingham Forest had terminated the contract to the former Newcastle midfielder as the club had exceeded a number of outgoing loans. Now, this is according to John Percy that there was an error with loan systems and Alex Mighton left on loan, which caused an issue for this, and therefore Jonjo Shelvey had to leave by permanent means. So that means Shelvey is now therefore a permanent player of the Turkish side, which currently sits seventh in the Turkish Super League. Forest had announced on their website and social media channels in posts that have now been removed that the move was on a loan basis, having Shelvey only joined 6 months previously. Questions are being raised, but the undeniable fact, Jonjo Shelvey is no longer on Forest books. And now, in terms of performances, Nottingham Forest beat Manchester United for the first time at the City Ground since 1992. On Saturday last week, Nottingham Forest were victorious over Manchester United in a stunning 3-1 victory in the Premier League, the first time they've beaten United since returning to the Premier League, and also the first time since 1992 at the City Ground. The game started as it meant to go on, Forest dominance. A controlled first half ended level, with Forest opening the scoring in the second half with Nicolas Dominguez. A disappointing state of play led to an equaliser. However, Forest would right those wrongs with a rocket of a shot into the back of the net from Morgan Gibbs-White on the edge of the box. A historic win for the Reds, who now sit 15th in the Premier League with 20 points, 5 points off the relegation zone. And now lastly, in this week's news, Nottingham Forest players head to AFCON. A number of Forest stars have left to join their home nations as they prepare for the upcoming African Cup of Nations tournament this month. Ibrahim Sangare, Moussa Niakate, Serge Aurier, Ola Aina, Willy Bolly and Cheku Kiate have all left for their respective nations ahead of the tournament, which takes place from 13th of January until the 11th of February 2024. Forest have the highest number of African players in the Premier League, with 7, 6 of those heading to AFCON this month. Tara Wonyi, the only player not heading to AFCON through groin injury. Sheffield United have the second highest African quota with 4 players. Now that's the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter. Updates on Nottingham Forest related news throughout the week. Happy New Year. Take care.
Thank you very much, Jamie. And let's go straight into discussing some of those stories. And what I'd like to do is start off with that first story. It sounds an obvious place to start, doesn't it? And it's a story that's dominating the headlines at the moment. It's become national news, as so many things to do with Forest spending sprees have, which is whether Forest are going to be in breach of profit and sustainability rules, or as it's more commonly known, financial fair play regs. And Forest are apparently sailing close to the wind. Kieran Maguire of the Price of Football podcast and respected academic talking about football finances. The story seemed to come from a report, an interview with him, where he said there's going to be a few clubs sailing close to the wind and Forest are bound to be one of it. And that there seemed to be a bit of journalistic license that came from that, which took us in the direction of people saying, well, Forest might get deducted points. So, to the marriage on the Midlands, first of all, does this worry you?
Yes, I think it does worry me. I've always been a little bit concerned about the level of spending we've undertaken since we've got promoted. It seems slightly foolhardy to me to spend all of the TV money in both seasons. I would have maybe taken a more circumspect approach to it if it was my if I had control of the purse strings. And I just look at the other clubs in the Premier League, sort of similar sized clubs, who have been there for a few years, and they've not been able to spend anywhere near the sort of money we've spent. So you look at somebody like Crystal Palace. So it does concern me that we're bound to be close to breaching those regulations.
And Tom, to come to you, Tom Newton. I mean, are you, marriage on the Midlands sounds quite worried. I'm a little bit more laid back about it. Where do you fall on the spectrum?
Probably the same as you, really. We all knew that Forest was going to be a bit close to the wind in terms of the spending, the time out of the Premier League, because obviously the years where this FFP sits in is obviously we had a couple of years in the Championship, and at the end of the day, we've tried to compete in the Premier League, which the ultimate goal was last season to stay up, which we did. Bearing in mind, I'm not looking for preferential treatment here, but we got promoted on the back of no parachute payments, etc. So we've done things accordingly. I mean, they're not going to go over like the years, but we've like sold like an academy product every year near enough to stay in the on the right side of FFP. So I think it's a case of the Premier League looking at us because of obviously the time span of being in the Championship, being in the Premier League, and obviously what we spent and everything. I think we're going to be okay, but like I said, it's going to be interesting few weeks while they look through our financing and accounting over the last year or so.
Yeah, and it seems as though part of the argument hinges upon the Brennan Johnson transfer, which obviously brought in lots of money but seems to fall after the cut-off date. And one of the things, Maradon the Midlands, with some of our friends the other night, we were having a discussion, weren't we, about The trouble with football regulations is they seem to be a bit of a movable feast. So is it possible that Forest thought they were moving to one set of regs and then the FA have changed the cutoff dates and so on? Or is it the Premier League? I don't know who's in charge of this. Is it the FA? Is it the Premier League? I'm not sure.
No, I think it's the Premier League. They sort of came up with the regulations themselves. So they're self-governing, I think, in that respect. So, I don't know when they changed the date of I'm not even sure if they touched it. I think they just changed how quickly you decide if you've breached it or not. So they do this. So you have to do it by the end of January. Everybody's going to know one way or the other to sort of avoid it dragging on. I think the period under consideration is probably the same whichever way you look at it. It's just whenever the year-end accounts is for Forest, that's looking at each year's account. So, I think what's the main problem is that there's no set punishment. In the Championship, there are set punishments. You breach it, breach FFP, you get a set punishment here. That's, I think, the problem Everton have had, well, the issue Everton have had with it as well, is that it just seems to be an arbitrary figure of 10 points out of nowhere. I think maybe a fairer system would be sort of just a percentage of the average number of points you've taken over that three-year period. I'm equate that percentage to how many percent you were over the FFP limit. I think that would probably be a fairer way of doing it, and then wouldn't be so much uncertainty over all of it. But at the moment, it's just down to a commission who decide whatever happens.
And of course, there's the argument that the Everton points deduction, if it's upheld, and obviously Everton are appealing, that will maybe set the precedent in itself, and that's one of the reasons why they went hard. Tom?
I do think FFP is basically protecting the bigger clubs in this country. I mean, okay, we know we've spent a lot of money, but we want to compete at this level. We've been, 23 years out of it. And Norwich come up and hardly spent anything and went straight back down. And Forest have turned around and said, we don't want to be that kind of club. We want to be, obviously, be a sustainable Premier League club over time. But obviously, you've got to spend a bit of money to actually stay there kind of thing. So, I do get, if you're the bigger club, you can sell more shirts around the globe and this, that and the other. But clubs like ourselves who have come up from the Championship, you've got to start from somewhere, because like I says, if they're expecting you just to spend like 10 million on one player, well, ultimately you're going to go down. And then if you look at, I know we spent a lot, and it's been the rhetorical story over the last year or so, but we had to get a squad into one, compete and have enough bodies in case there's injuries and this, that and the other. So I do get the rules, but then in some ways I think it's like penalising clubs who are trying to compete at this level.
And just as a case in point on that one, Tom, and this is a Forest podcast, so we don't want to talk too much about other clubs, but I saw someone on social media make the point, well, Bournemouth spent a lot of money to get promoted and spent a lot of money since they've been in the Premier League. Now, this time around, obviously, they got parachute payments, but is it just maybe that Forest are a glamorous name for the headline writers to go for?
Possibly. But the thing is, though, with Bournemouth going down, they've managed to keep bulk of their players, and we've never had that opportunity. So, and I did read at one point, I may be wrong in saying this, but I'm sure Bournemouth's wage outlay was 107% of their revenue. So I don't know where they sit in terms of the rules and regulations regarding this. But I think they've just said, oh, Forest has spent a lot. And I'm not saying we've actually done anything wrong, but I think they've just looked at it and thinking, they've spent a lot. They've spent so many years in the Championship and everything. Let's have a look at them. But we'll have to just see where it takes us in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, and I mean, what I would say is that Kieran Maguire, that interview, he said Forest would be one of the clubs who'd be sailing close to the wind. He also quite pointedly said on social media afterwards, I'm not saying they've breached regulations because we don't know, but just saying that Forest has spent a lot of money, and even allowing for amortization and the sale of Brennan Johnson to help balance the books, looking at the accounting periods that are being taken into consideration, Forest will have to account for that. And the fact, Maradon the Midlands, that they're hiring Nick DeMarco KC to represent the club and to advise about how to take this forward suggests that, yeah, there's something there where they'll have to present a case, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think they probably will be technically over it because the lower limits of the Championship, I think, will have absolutely scuppered them in terms of the allowed losses. So, yeah, I obviously hired somebody who's an expert in arguing these things. And I don't know if you can argue it, because if you're over the limit, you're over the limit. I don't know how you can, if they're going to be sort of apply the law or the rules strictly, I can't see how you can argue yourself out of it. But we'll see what happens.
And just staying with you very briefly, Maradona, I was discussing with 1865 Dad the other day that, you know, one of the things that is different these days is that for all the kind of eccentricities in terms of the way the club is run and obviously the kind of character of Mr. Marinakis, but even if you could have some ethical issues with the way that certain things have been done, such as some of the transfers between Forest and Olympiacos and thinking about converting debts to equity and so on. But those are things that are above board and they're not, you know, you may think, well, that shouldn't be doable, but they are legal. And so in that respect, I would also say that unlike, for example, under the previous owner and who was clearly making it up as he went along and was always going, oh, it'll be fine, and then not paying wages and so on. But Mr. Marinakis, in terms of having his hand on the tiller, he is concerned about the regulations, isn't he? He doesn't want the club to be dragged down in that way.
Yeah, I think they've got a whole sort of backroom team of sort of people who know what they're doing now, which makes a big difference, because when Fawaz was there, there wasn't anybody there really. So, it was always going to be an issue for us. And when sort of technicalities came into play and detail things, I don't think Fawaz was a details man.
That's very diplomatic of you.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you've got to give them credit. Ever since they've come in, they've hired sort of professional people who know what they're doing. And although there's been a high turnover of a lot of those people, there's always got somebody in place to look after the jobs and the nitty gritty of it all.
And I noticed it's Nick DeMarco KC and not Nick Randall KC who's the man who's been chosen to represent. But anyway, that's potentially a whole other story, and we don't want to get into trouble with any legal issues of our own. Tom, let's just move on to story number two. Nino not coming to Forest. There's been lots of talk that Forest have been interested in signing him from Fluminense, and lots of fans getting excited about it. But he is going elsewhere. Is that something that is a disappointment to you?
I don't really know much about the player part of him. He's from Brazil, plays for Fluminense, but I haven't really seen him play. But it would have been nice to get another centre half in the door, because obviously Bolly's out on international duty with Ivory Coast. Nkarti's with Senegal. Worrell and McKenna don't really seem to be in the pitch, so it would have been nice to have another centre half, because Murillo's obviously there, but Felipe, you just can't keep fit at the moment. But it's a bit of a strange move for Nino, because he's going to Zenit. They can't play in any European competition because of obviously UEFA sanctions from the war in Ukraine. It's a bit of a sideways move, but it's up to him what he wants at the end of the day. But if he's that good, surely he could have gone to another club in the Premier League or somewhere else in Europe. But yeah, going to Zenit, I think it's a bit of a wasted move, really, because obviously he can't really do anything on in the tournaments, because obviously they're not allowed to play in it. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange one for him. But if he wants to go to Zenit, then it's up to Nino.
Yeah, you can't make someone move somewhere where they don't want to, apart from that time that Forrest did do that with one of the Greek lads. Anyway, at Maradona Midlands, I mean, we'll come on to AFCON a little bit later on, but McKenna seems to be on the move, and I saw a rumour that apparently Celtic are interested, which would be an incredibly good move for all parties, I think. But it could be the chance for Worrell and Omar Bamadeli to get some minutes, couldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not particularly disappointed that we've not signed him. I think we've got too many players as it is, so I think we can get through AFCON.
And does it make a difference that that Nuno is thus far playing a back four, so therefore it maybe lessens the need to get another centre-half in?
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Yeah, well, yeah.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the 23-24 season, 1865 is sponsored by Green King Sports, where football is more than a game. Their venues are showing every televised Forest fixture over the course of the season, so instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together and get down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action. They've launched the Green King Sports Instagram page, which will be home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. They've already given away Champions League final tickets and signed shirts, so you don't want to miss out. Drop them a follow and you won't just be the first to know about all of this. You'll be helping us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. Welcome back to 1865, the Friday Five on Friday the 5th. And we're going to move on to the next story, which Jamie brought us a little bit earlier. So, Jonjo Shelvey, we thought he was out on loan and Forest are paying lots and lots of money in wages for a player who's clearly never going to play for the club anymore. And now we've had it confirmed he's not going to play for the club anymore because he is no longer a Forest player. Now, I'm not going to want to talk about the fact he's no longer a Forest player. Tom, what I'd like to discuss is the weird narrative going on about this, which is Forest said he was out on loan, and then it's emerged that actually his contract was terminated so he could move away and basically Forest could get him out of the club. It's all a bit murky, isn't it?
It is strange. It is coming as a bit of a surprise because everybody thought he was just on loan. Whether it's an admin error along the way, which seemingly looks to be the case.
That money was just resting in my account.
Yeah. So I think it's a good all round. I think signing Jonjo Shelvey has been, well, at the time, I thought it was a bit of a strange one. And it's turned out to be an absolute disaster, hasn't it? Whoever signed that off needs to have a word with themselves, because I thought it was strange at the time he came in. He just gave us the impression that he didn't really want to be here. He was got a lot of criticism in the little time he did play. And then obviously we got him out of the club. And then the news, was it today or yesterday, come out that he's no longer our player, which for FFP reasons, which was mentioned earlier, I don't suppose he's going to be on big money, isn't he? So I think it's win-win all around. Win for the club that they've got him off the wage bill. Good for him that he can just carry on with his football and everybody moves on.
The other element about this that is a bit murky, Nick Miller, formerly of this parish, tweeted the Guardian story reporting on this. And he said, Forest are a weird club, which I think all football clubs are a bit weird and murky, but Forest have got their eccentricities, let's say. And he's taken absolute dog's abuse about it. Just before we started recording, I likened it to if somebody was to say to somebody, oh, yes, your daughter's been naughty at school today. And it's like them turning around going, what are you saying? I'm a bad parent. Are you going to report me to social services? Fans have taken it incredibly personally. It's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I see where some fans are coming. But for me, I know everybody's different. And some of the things what Nick Miller has said in the past has come on my timeline, and it's from seems to be a negative agenda. I don't know if that's coincidental that I'm only seeing certain bits of his timeline. So I did think, oh, it's another negative dig at the club. I know there's clubs out there who are not crystal clear. They do things a bit strange. We're definitely in that bracket. We do some things which you take a step back and you're thinking, that's a bit strange. But I think every club's has their quirky ways of working, or workings and things like that. And I know he's took it from a Guardian and everything, but I think everybody in the last week, the last few weeks with Steve Cooper leaving, And then Daniel Taylor's put a piece about the club and everything. Then Paul Taylor's put something. Then obviously Nick Miller's part of The Athletic. I think everybody's put everybody into like one basket kind of thing. And then, so I think it's his, whether it's right or wrong, I think it's his type of turn that he's getting dogs abused because he's the latest one to put something on there. I think some of it's a bit over the top, but then I can see other bits why people are...
So my take on this, and I'm sure that George and Jamie of our podcast, and Stephen as well, as people who know a bit about journalism, but my take on this is that I think it's the life of a journalist. Ultimately, negative press and negative headlines generate more interest, more readership, more ad revenue than positive stories. And Forest are ripe for those kinds of things at the moment because it's very easy to portray them as a crisis club. So that's my take on it. Just to move on quickly, we've discussed the Man United victory in our match report. So if you're new to this podcast, we do reports on every single Forest match. And the most recent podcast we did before today was indeed our report on the Manchester United victory, where I was joined by Baz and Jeremy to talk about a memorable day. Now, the only thing I'm just going to add to that is that Baz and Jeremy and I are all of a certain vintage, so we're old enough to remember Forest beating Man United previously. But other members of this podcast, namely Ellie, Adam, George and Jamie, they've never in their lifetime seen Forest beat Man United. So enjoy the moment, kids. And, you know, Man United are not the force they once were, but still, I can understand why people are enjoying it so much. Let's just move to the final story that Jamie brought us. Maradon the Midlands. Forest have got six players away at AFCON, and including several in defensive positions. But, of course, Taiwo Awoniyi is recovering from his injury. He has not travelled with Nigeria. Bearing in mind that we've got a break of 3 weeks in the league, 2 weeks if you take into account the FA Cup tie against Blackpool, it doesn't hurt English clubs as much as it might have done otherwise, does it?
Yeah, it's not as bad as it could have been. I think we'll cope okay with it. It's always that sort of mini break we have now in the Premier League sort of helps a bit. I remember when Junior Ogogo, may he rest in peace, went away, and it was a sense of pride, it was an excitement watching him play in AFCON, and I think if I remember rightly, they went on and won it that season, and that was slap bang in sort of a busy period of matches for us. But the players got every right to go from it's the African version of the European Championships, and you wouldn't ask a European player to miss European Championships, and just because of geography and weather, it has to be in January. So, wish all the players good luck. Hope they come back injury free. And I think it is an opportunity for one or two of our other squad players to maybe cement a place in their absence.
Yeah, Tom. I mean, I think there's certain things that, I mean, Kouyaté isn't really a first teamer a great deal of the time anyway. Obviously, Aina is. Aurier hasn't been playing very much recently. I think the big loss is that Niakate and Boly, Niakate in particular, the last two matches, he's been magnificent and has been my man of the match against both Newcastle and Manchester United. But on the other hand, it gives other players a chance to step up, doesn't it?
Yeah. And another thing is we don't play many games this month either. So it's a win-win all around because the players can go out and enjoy representing their countries at AFCON. Some fringe players can stake a place in the side, and we're not going to miss the players too much because obviously Blackpool on Sunday, Brentford middle of the month, and then Arsenal at the back end of the month. So I think we'd be okay. If it was like a bit like last January where there was a lot of games, then I think we would suffer more than we're probably going to do this year. So yeah, I think it would be okay. Just sincerely hope we don't get any suspensions or injuries over the next few weeks, because if that happens, then obviously our squad's going to be tested.
Yeah. And Maradona, am I right in saying that once countries get eliminated, then the players can come back and play in their league team? So it's possible, for example, with the Arsenal match, depending upon how Cote d'Ivoire and Senegal and Nigeria get on, it's possible that some or all of those players might be back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as soon as they're over there, they're back flying back home. So, yeah, you never know. They might be back sooner than they expected.
Okay. Thank you very much to Maradona Midlands and Tom. Just one addendum to what we've discussed already. So something that wasn't in Jamie's news bulletin, but there are rumours that Forest are looking at the goalkeeping position and potentially going in for Keylor Navas, who, of course, was on loan at the City Ground in the second half of last season. And our George wanted to have his say about this.
So just on the news that Navas might be coming back to the City Ground, because, well, I share the viewpoint that I suppose many of the fans don't. I wouldn't be a fan, if I'm being honest, and I'd rather have Matt Turner in goal. I think the issue with Matt Turner that's quite clear is his kicking, his distribution, that he doesn't seem to be learning his lesson, shown by Newcastle. I think there was about three times in a row that Forrest played it back to him. He booted it out for a sort of throw-in or gave the ball away. They counter-attacked, we got a goal kick, and that was a repetitive cycle, and he didn't learn his lesson. He's not learning his lesson, shown by the goal we conceded to Man United. But in terms of his shot-stopping ability, he's a strong shot-stopper. He maybe flaps a bit in the air, but personally, I think he's a better shot-stopper than Navas, because last season I never felt confident with Navas in goal. And I said at one point in the season he'd made four mistakes leading to goals in six games, which you don't want as a keeper, and that's through his shot stopping, not through his distribution like Turner or something. I think off the top of my head, Leeds away, Brentford away, cost us, and there's a few more in there as well. And he parries into striker's path, which is something, you know, you can't have in a goalkeeper. Turner, at least when he makes a save, he pushes it away. Why not Forrest go and get Aaron Ramsdale? You know, he's been sat on the bench all season at Arsenal. It's ambitious, but so was Navas last season, and we pulled that off. So why not get Aaron Ramsdale as a loan signing? That's my ambitious shout.
Okay, thank you very much, George. Now, we're going to discuss the goalkeeping situation when we do our review of the year and our discussion show, which is called the Forest Ramble, if you're new to listening to 1865. And we're going to do that in the week after the Blackpool game. But just very quickly, in a word or in a sentence, Maradona the Midlands, would you have Keylor Navas back?
No, I share some of the concerns of George there. I wasn't particularly a great fan of bringing him in first place. And yeah, he did make mistakes last year as well. So I think he'd find probably somebody better in the Championship, if I'm honest.
Okay. And Tom, same question to you. Would you bring Navas back?
No, I'd look around Europe and try and get a young upcoming goalkeeper with a bit of experience behind him. I think we've wasted so much money in terms of goalkeepers. We had Navas, Henderson last year. We spent 60 million on these two. And at the end of the day, we didn't give a contract to Samba, which he probably deserved.
Okay. So both of those were quite long sentences, but I appreciate your views. And as I say, we'll return to that discussion during the little break. But thank you very much for listening to 1865, the Friday Five. Thank you to the Maradona Midlands, to Tom, to Jamie and to George. And if you like what you hear, then please give us a New Year gift. Write a review, especially if you're listening on a fruit-based device. You can share our podcast with your friends. You can subscribe and you can join us on social media. All the links are at 1865.football. And in the meantime, we'll be back after the Blackpool match with a match report, and we will join you again during the little break. So take care of yourself and we'll catch you soon.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.